Broadcasting from Singapore and broadcasting all around the world, you're listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, taking the pulse of educators from all over the globe and bringing what you need every week. Now, over to your host, Craig Kemp.
Hello and welcome to episode 17 of the EdTech Chat Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Kemp, and I'm thrilled to have your support. This podcast is sponsored by Education Perfect, known by many as EP. EP is a global leader in online differentiated blended learning, a tool that revolutionizes learning outcomes and teacher productivity around the world. Education Perfect provides content in multiple curriculum areas and languages in countries all over the globe to support learning in an engaging way. Their platform is incredibly powerful for teachers and leaders through the detailed data analytics that it pulls to inform learning. They even integrate AI to automatically suggest next learning tasks for students based on their results. To learn more about EP and to get a free trial, visit bit.ly/EPvideos. The links are in the description below. As I've shared before, I continue to work with the incredibly talented Mark Quinn to improve the final audio quality of this podcast. He has his own podcast production studio that provides editing and mastering services to content creators. To connect with Mark, please see the details in the podcast notes below. Thank you for your questions that you continue to send in. This week, I wanted to discuss one question from Anthony in Australia. He asked, I'm currently looking at learning management and student information system options for my school. Every time I talk to a company, they give me a spiel, but I don't understand their jargon. What should I be looking for, and who do you have experience using? Thanks for your question, Anthony. Something that I've had recent experience with on more than one occasion. Just before leaving my role as an EdTech director at a large international school here in Singapore, we embarked on a process of change with Learning Management Systems, or LMS, and Student Information System, or SIS, options. And I've just come off a project supporting a new startup school here in Singapore and choosing the right solution for their needs, so I feel like I've got the experience to help answer this. One of my first recommendations is to make sure you know what you want and what you need. Don't let companies dictate and tell you what you need, but ensure that you have the list of must-haves and nice-to-haves ready to go. Don't let a sales pitch fool you. Listen to the experts. All good LMS companies I know have educators at the helm to help you, and not just a salesperson. Ask LMS and SIS companies questions about teaching and learning and education in general. How is their solution going to best solve your problems? How will their product make your life easier, provide better communication to your learners and community? And what data analytics are there to support teaching, learning, differentiation, and future planning? To help answer your question, Anthony, if a company is using jargon that goes over your head as an educator and they're not explaining it, then they obviously don't understand how your school works. EdTech companies should be asking you questions about your context to help find how they can solve your problems. Recently, I've had an extremely positive experience with Firefly Learning, in my opinion, the leading LMS tool out there for schools globally. In my recent project identifying and finding a suitable LMS provider, the school leadership team settled on Firefly for five main reasons. These five reasons may help you make some decisions now and into the future about what's best for you when it comes to a learning management system. Number one, proven track record. Firefly work in hundreds of schools all over the world with an excellent record of success and support. Look into the company you're exploring. If they have a proven track record, move on and have some more discussions with them. If they don't, maybe it's time to have a look somewhere else. Number two, a constant investment in their people and product. Firefly have invested in not only staff to support technical developments and new integrations, but teachers and support staff to make sure that it runs smoothly and successfully so you don't have to waste time solving issues as a teacher. This is a really critical element in any LMS decision making, so ask these questions wisely. Number three, a leading communications tool. In my experience, an LMS is strong only when it helps with communication. Firefly makes that easy for schools to share information, help parents support student achievement, and engage everyone in the learning conversation through their integrated communication portal. Firefly's single central hub ensures that the school-home partnership is a fundamental part of the learning experience. In every school I've worked in, that home-school triangle is really critical to make sure that the learning experiences for students, parents, and teachers is a positive one. Number four. Distance learning success. Right now, we're in a situation where schools all around the world are being forced to learn in a distance or remote way. A blended learning environment for some. Companies like Firefly are supporting teachers with distance learning and becoming the core hub for distance learning in schools. With Firefly, schools support students' learning wherever they are. Firefly enables schools and teachers to deliver engaging lessons remotely, from setting tasks to sharing resources, as well as managing parent communication effectively and efficiently. Number 5, data analytics and integration. The incredible integrated system talks to major platforms including Microsoft, Google, and nearly all student information system providers. Firefly's team members work around the clock to ensure your integrations work smoothly to make your day easier. The data analytics in the back end make assessments worthwhile and provide teachers, leaders, and parents with the data they need to support student learning and growth. While this sounds like a sales pitch, it is not. Firefly are an incredible tool, and I wanted to highlight them as a tool that I have used in the past to be successful, and hopefully these 5 tips will help you in your journey. Being able to put an app in the hands of teachers, parents, and students to help with easy and efficient integration of a system is critical. Not many companies provide that, and again, it's a big tick in the Firefly box for me. With all of that in mind, I highly recommend you check out tools like Firefly, but most importantly, I recommend you set up time, Anthony, to ask questions and tell them what you need to be successful. If you need help along the way, don't hesitate to be in touch. A tool that has positively impacted the authentic and purposeful use of technology into classrooms and meeting rooms that I have worked in is Firefly Learning. I thought I'd jump on this point that Anthony mentioned earlier on to talk about how Firefly has helped me in what I've been doing in my schools. As I explained before, Firefly is an online learning platform and learning management system. It's a game-changing platform for parent engagement and learning continuity, and is a tool that I've actively used in many schools I have worked in. Not only is the tool a global leader in its field and a gold standard tool, but the team is incredibly supportive and they listen. Not only do they listen, but they act on what you suggest and make changes that can positively impact the experience of its users. I highly recommend that you take a look at Firefly by visiting fireflylearning.com. The link is in the description below. I have direct contacts with their leadership team too, and would be happy to make a direct contact for faster service. Don't hesitate to contact me at craig@mrkempnz.com with the subject Firefly, so I can connect you for a chat. This week, I wanted to discuss coaching. As an experienced EdTech leader and coach, I often get asked about the role and how it works. I thought I'd take a moment today to highlight the important role that an EdTech or ICT coach plays in a school. First of all, let's dispel some myths. Myth number 1, it's an easy job. Yes, coaches have less contact time with students and classes than a homeroom teacher, but working with adults on a daily basis is just as, if not more, challenging than working in your own class. This role is diverse and is near on impossible to plan in advance like it is as a teacher. An EdTech coach has to be flexible, adaptable, always learning and growing, and be able to help support and manage people across a diverse range of skill sets and attitudes. Myth number 2, you have to be a tech expert. False. The one skill I look for when hiring an EdTech coach is personality and a willingness to share, learn, and grow. Confidence is important as well, and coaches need to be able to approach people, have uncomfortable conversations, and stand up and present in front of large groups. Coaches have to be skilled and have a love of using technology to add value to learning experience, but it doesn't mean they have to be an IT guru. In fact, in my experience, the best coaches that I have hired are always those that get on well with people, that they're willing to learn and grow and are confident to share and help people, no matter what the situation. Myth number 3, coaches are out of touch with what it's like to teach in a classroom. It's funny, because I used to hear this all the time as a coach and EdTech leader, and now I hear the same thing as a consultant. And I truly believe that in my role now as a consultant, I'm more connected than ever before to learning, teaching, and student interactions, because I work with such a diverse range of schools and situations. Often as a teacher, we get stuck in the bubble of our school or our classroom, and it's hard to get outside that to learn, unlearn, and relearn with the changing face of education. As a coach, it's important to be out of the office and be forward-facing as much as possible. Get into classrooms and see lessons in action, model lessons and co-teach with a range of educators to not only stay fresh, but to help others grow and learn. Coaches often know the curriculum better than anyone else and should be invited to team meetings and planning sessions to support with the best integrations. Coaching is a challenging role that can be extremely successful when strategically planned for and implemented. I love supporting schools in rolling these types of roles out and being strategic about human resource implementation. Coaches should have a schedule to support teachers but be forward-facing to leadership, parents and students as well. It's a busy job. A well-thought-out coaching program can save teachers time, save schools money with professional learning, and support parents move and grow with the changing face of education in the times of technology. Please share your school's coaching plans and what you do via social media by tagging me at MrKempNZ. And if you're after support or ideas for coaching or technology integration in your school, don't hesitate to reach out and I'd be happy to help. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Every week, I bring you a short interview with some of my EduHeroes, an engaging learning experience with someone who makes a difference in education every day, with a particular focus or angle towards educational technology. This week, I had the pleasure of chatting with Victoria Thompson. Let's have a listen. Today, I have the honor of speaking with Victoria Thompson. You might know her as @VictoriaTheTech on Twitter. Victoria and I have been connected for some time now. She's currently a high school math teacher at a private independent school in Seattle, USA, and is moving into an amazing STEM instructional coaching role next year. I'm always inspired by her passionate tweets around the themes of math, tech, and equity. Victoria, it's an incredible pleasure to have you on the show today. Are you ready to talk about education and technology integration?
Hi, yes, good morning. And yes, I am ready.
Awesome. Let's go. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your current role and what inspires you to do what you do?
Yeah. So currently, I guess I'm kind of in this like weird limbo stage, right? Because I am a high school math teacher, but I'm about to step into my new role as a STEM and, instructional coach. So in my current role, just as a high school math teacher, what I do, a lot of it is just building up math curriculum. So when I was hired, my school was in the process of building out multiple pathways for students, particularly within the IB diploma program. So there are a couple of different pathways that students could start out in just based off of their math ability. You know, there's a placement test that they take. And one of the newer classes was an integrated math program. And instead of taking the traditional Algebra 1, Geometry, Algebra 2 route, Integrated Math 1 was a mix of introductory pre-algebra and Algebra 1, a little bit of geometry, and then statistics as well. So a lot of what I do in that role specifically is building up that curriculum because it really was brand new. Like we literally just started. This was our first year. So I'm working on that as well as building out a new AP statistics curriculum for students who might not want to go into a traditional pre-calculus or calculus pathway, but they're more interested in the applicable math that statistics provides. So that's what I do in that setting. For a STEM instructional coach, I'm going to be working with a middle school that's actually in a nearby area of my house in Tacoma, so I won't be too far. But most of that is going to be teaching teachers, you know, how to be better teachers within the STEM discipline, implementing project-based and problem-based learning, and also running something called a STEM Expo, which I'm super excited for. So that's just a little bit about, you know, my role and just what inspires me. Always about growth and always about making sure that the pathways and the content is accessible, inclusive, and relatable.
That's so cool. And I love hearing your passion for this as well. Like I can really hear it in your voice, how genuinely thrilled and excited you are about the next steps in this journey. And you get the opportunity to see lots. I mean, you're connected on social media and you chat to people all the time. What excites you about education today?
I think that right now, specifically as a Black woman, teaching Black students, and at my independent school, there were not many students of color, but I did have some, and I was very much the representation that they had. I was the only Black teacher, not just in my department, but in my division. So that kind of representation was huge. I am really, really positively charged by a lot of the anti-racism, anti-bias, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives that I feel are finally beginning to happen in schools. In my last, institutional environment, We had an entire DIE, which is Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion group. You know, we went to People of Color conference that was in Seattle this past year. It's in St. Louis, Missouri this upcoming year. They very much knew that change needed to happen. We were in that formative stage of, we know the change needs to happen. Now let's, implement some actionable steps. I feel like a lot of schools around the country are just now taking that initiative. And when I think about my time of teaching back in South Carolina, I sincerely cannot point to a single time when we had diversity training, you know, when we had anti-racism training, when we had, you know, anti-bias training. I literally cannot point to a single time when we had that. And looking back, I know that that's problematic, but I also know that a lot of other schools are in the same boat. So I'm hoping that, especially with, you know, in light of recent events, we can take this energy and we can move it positively going forward for the betterment of our students. That's probably the thing that is most exciting me about education today. With remote learning, or emergency remote learning, as I like to call it, because nobody was prepared, right? We just kind of, you know, were thrust into this. I'm really interested to see what schools are going to look like in the fall. My prior institution has already given us a couple of different models, and they've also invested in, you know, things like plexiglass dividers and, you know, all this fancy video conferencing technology in case, you know, students elect to stay home or their parents want to keep them at home. It's going to be very interesting to see what's going to happen, especially considering if teachers are expected to be in schools, but kids have the option of being at home. Right. So what's the workload going to look like for this kid? What's the workload going to look like for the teacher? What's collaboration going to look like, you know, across campus? What is classroom management going to look like? There's just a lot of different factors. But I mean, I'm kind of like a data nerd, and it's just very interesting to me. I'm super interested to see what's going to happen in the fall. I do not envy the position of any administrator that has to make that decision.
Everything you've talked about there, Victoria, is the essence of why I follow you on Twitter and why we connect and why I wanted to talk to you today. Because the world that we live in now, it's changing for multiple reasons, and you've highlighted just two of those reasons today. And I want to sort of jump on that a little bit, because your voice in social media is so powerful, and I'm a huge fan and follower of what you do and what you say, because you bring positivity and like authenticity to everything you say, whether it's about tech, whether it's about race, whether it's about, you know, professional learning and connecting and engaging and technology, whatever you say, I love that connection. Tell us a little bit about your choice of professional learning networks. Where do you engage, and who should we be connecting with?
Ooh, that's a good question. So when I first started out on Twitter, to be completely honest, this was when I was a full-time tech consultant. And I figured, okay, now that I've left teaching, right, and of course now I'm kind of reintegrating myself, I still need to be connected with teachers and people that are helping teachers just around, you know, my area. And then, of course, I can kind of expand on that. So I live in the Seattle area. First, I just kind of chose to figure out, okay, who's up and down the Pacific Northwest. One of my first connections is a woman named Karen Philhart, and she's on Twitter. Let me see. I think she's Filibuster3. Yeah, Filibuster3. One of my very first connections, and she is just out of this world amazing. And our Twitter friendship has blossomed into a full-time friendship, which is, again, out of this world amazing. But she was a former elementary and special education teacher. Now she's a tech TOSA, so we call TOSA a teacher on special assignment. And she's also a professor of assistive technology. So a lot of what she does focuses on inclusive technology, you know, technology that helps students. She keeps a very comprehensive OneNote on tech tools that are great, not just for teachers, but for parents and also for personal use. One of my favorite posts that she did was actually how she used Microsoft tools plan her wedding, which was just so cool, you know, because I'm newly married. You know, my wife, Courtney, she and I have been married, I think it's like 8 months now. But I did like that blog post because we have kept like a very, you know, detailed OneNote and also Excel just of expenses and, you know, keeping track of things and things like that. So she's absolutely one of my favorites. When it comes to just other tech people to follow. Anybody in the Q network, I think, is absolutely wonderful. To be completely honest, I'm still finding out more about Q because Washington does not have a branch. To me, it seems more kind of centered in Colorado, California, Nevada, you know, those areas. But from what I can tell, great organization aimed at connecting like-minded tech educators or educators that use tech for the better. And it's a great sharing network. So I actually just presented with Q Nevada just a couple of days ago. I have a cornerstone presentation on using data to enhance tough conversations with families. So I did that with them, and I'm looking forward to also presenting with Q LA and then Coachella Q in a couple months. So that should be really fun. And then I also like to follow any tech company that what I like to call authentic ed tech. So, I mean, every company has people behind it, right? But these are companies that I very much refer to as being people first. They're extremely authentic. They're there to help people. Their customer service is very responsive. And on top of that, everyone that's behind the company just lives and breathes what they do. And not in like a weird profit-only driven way. Like, they're very, very invested in teachers and who they work with. My two favorites that I follow are Pear Deck. Pear Deck, it's kind of like an interactive PowerPoint. So students log in with a code and, you know, they can draw on screens and, you know, they can, it's very interactive. And when I taught math, my girls loved it. So I love Pear Deck. Pear Deck is also doing a lot of really neat things with anti-racism and anti-bias in their own division. And I really appreciate that, you know, from hiring an outside division to come in and teach about anti-racism, anti-bias. As a small company, they're also donating $50,000 to, you know, platforms that support anti-racism, anti-bias. I mean, I just think that that's out of this world amazing. And then Buncee is another one that I follow. I've actually met a couple of the Buncee folks in person. I think that they are, again, outstanding. Marie Arturi, who runs Buncee, also a completely amazing person, and we chat from time to time. You can just feel the love and the warmth in her voice, not just, you know, that she has for the teachers that use her product, but also just for us on a personal level. You know, she truly cares about what teachers are doing and also, you know, how to enhance their product. And the best way that I can describe Buncee is it's kind of like PowerPoint on steroids, is what I tell people. It's really neat because there are lots of different templates and you can create newsletters and, you know, it's like a very interactive whiteboard for kids, but it's online. Very cool for community building, very cool for content creation. Just lots of things going on with that platform.
I think both of those tools are fantastic examples, and you've summarized them so well, but fantastic examples of companies that are genuine, authentic, and purposeful in the space, and they're actually there to help people. And I love the way that you've shared your practical and lifetime examples as well of what you do. So adding on to those then, what about an edtech tool that you currently love using in your day-to-day work?
Ooh, okay. I'm actually looking through my tools right now, trying to think of which one I actually use the most. And I'm going to have to go with OneNote for this. So OneNote, I actually have the static version. So when I say static, I mean it's like standalone, right? It's like an app that I have on my computer. But I also keep a digital OneNote that's known as OneNote for Windows 10, or at least I still think it's OneNote for Windows 10. That is on, of course, my cloud version of all my Microsoft tools. I do use Google Drive, but I do find that as a math teacher and just as a STEM person, Microsoft tools are more fluid for me to use. And the reason why I'm specifically highlighting OneNote is because they've got something super cool called Math Tools. Now, right now, this is only available in the, I call it the remote version, right? So it's kind of like the cloud-driven version, which would be OneNote for Windows 10. Currently, at least not on my update, it's not on the static version, but literally, it is so cool because what I can do is I can type in a math problem or I can type in a math sentence. And what I do is I highlight it and then I click the Math Tools button at the top of OneNote. Not only does it change it into a very fluid math sentence for me. So like if we were, for example, to type it into a graphing calculator like x squared, I couldn't just go X squared. It would be like X and then the little arrow up and then the two, right? So typically when I'll write a math sentence like this, that's how it would show up on the computer. Math Tools eliminates all of the clunky coding and it actually creates one fluid sentence. Not only that, but I can click on it and it will suggest practice questions that are additional on top of that, which alleviates the need for me to do any more work, which I love. I'm a very big fan. Less work than I have to. And there's even a section to create a practice quiz directly through OneNote and Microsoft Forms. So from one little question, I can not only have multiple examples for kids, but I can also have a practice quiz. And what I've also done with my students in the past is I've encouraged them to use this. And by using it, they can create practice quizzes for themselves. That way, if they need extra practice, they don't need to be searching for any external resources. Because sometimes in math, it can be a little squirrely and maybe the explanations might not be so great, right? If they go through OneNote, then they're able to do it all there. So I love it. And then not only that too, but you know, just for personal use, it's great for checklists. It's great for to-do lists. It's just a great organizational tool that I use every day.
I love that. And I didn't know about that math part, and it's something that I'm going to go away and take a look at. I was just chatting to a mate of mine today, and he was talking about something just like this. So I'm going to look it up, and I'm going to send it to him, and I'm going to tell him that you sent me that way, and he's going to have to come and say thank you very much. So appreciate that. That's really cool.
Yeah, not a lot of people know about it. I feel like every time I bring it up, I just get, you know, whoa, it does that? I can't believe that.
Yeah, it's an unknown. I didn't know it did that either. And it's something that I think other people would love to hear about. I mean, Victoria, you are an incredibly passionate educator who strives to excel in everything you do. Learning is important to all of us as educators. Tell us about a book or a resource that you've been reading lately, or just one of your all-time favorites, and tell us why we should be exploring it.
So I love podcasts. I think one of the things that I personally have missed so much through all of this COVID stuff is just sitting in the car and driving and listening to podcasts, you know, just listening to it on my way to work or, you know, a way to go visit a friend and, you know, all that stuff. And I'm a big NPR fan personally. And one of the things that I really like, they have a segment called Snap Judgment, where it's a little bit of non-traditional programming. You know, it's not your All Things Considered, where it's like news and then there's, there's traffic reports and blah, blah, blah. Snap Judgment is essentially just podcasts and links of lots of different people, but they've done a focus lately on, you know, BIPOC and POC. So that's Black, Indigenous, People of Color, and People of Color. One of the ones that really sparked my interest, and actually I was coming back from like hiking, you know, with my wife and my dog, and we actually drove around for a little bit longer because it was such interesting content. They had an entire segment through WNYC, which I'm assuming is like a radio, you know, podcasting station out of New York City. And it's called Debatable. And it focuses specifically on a man. His first name is Ryan. And his last name is Walsh. Yeah, Ryan Walsh. And he's a Black queer man. And he essentially stakes his whole debate career on how debate is not only frivolous, like the topics that are debated are frivolous, but debate is inherently a racist practice. And it really got me thinking, and it's just one segment. I wish that they would do more on it. But it really got me thinking about, especially as a high school educator, right? Are the programs and are the activities that we're giving our students meaningful? And then also, what does that mean in the grander scale of things for anti-racism, anti-bias teaching, right? So one of the things that they focus on Debatable is typically, you know, if you have a debate team, it's white kids, right? You might have a couple of kids of color. Typically, the schools that have debate teams have more money, have more resources. Debate teams are typically not in areas where there are primarily students of color. And they're debating things that, quite frankly, a high school kid doesn't care about, right? Like, you know, they're not caring about, you know, tax increases or, you know, because they don't have taxes yet. Or, you know, they don't care about, you know, human rights relations or you know, they probably do, but it's typically in like a different country where, you know, they might not have access or resource or probably haven't visited yet. So it focuses on those constructs. And then on top of that, really making us think about the programming and the content that we provide for our kids in our schools. How are we conveying that? And then on top of that, are the activities that we give culturally relevant? Because if they're not, then we need to switch it up. So highly, highly recommend that resource. That has definitely been the one that's been the most impactful for me, because especially in my new role, I want to make sure that I'm creating quality activities and quality content. If it's not relevant, then we shouldn't be doing it, right? So that's what Ryan Walsh does. You know, he literally stakes his whole debate career on, you know, he walks in and the other group gives their side. You know, they're debating about human rights or, you know, prices of tea and blah, blah, blah. And then he'll pop up and he'll say, no, we're not going to debate this. We're going to talk about why we shouldn't be doing this. And here are the reasons why. And it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. You know, he basically looks at them in the face and says, no, we're going to talk about why this isn't relevant anymore. And I think that's a very important conversation that we need to have in our schools. You know, if someone comes up and says, okay, we're going to learn about, you know, some arbitrary thing that a white man did in a history book, I think that it's very valid for as an educator, you know, standing up and say, no, you know, black and brown children, you know, lots of different types of people of color, we need to stand up and say, no, where's our history, right? Or, hey, this isn't relevant to our lives. Maybe we can learn about something else. Very inspiring. Very inspiring.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I'll make sure the link to that is in the podcast description below as well. Victoria, you have just shared so much amazing information here, so much passion, so many things that you've brought up today. I know that the listeners here are going to want to follow and connect with you. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So the best way to connect with me is definitely on Twitter. I am at Victoria the Tech. That is absolutely my number one form of just social media communication. And I'm in the process of tidying up my LinkedIn. I'm going to admit I do not keep a tidy LinkedIn. And now that I'm moving into a different role, I'm kind of looking at that like, eh, maybe I should change that. But you can search me. I'm Victoria Rose Thompson on LinkedIn. That's my full name. So Victoria Rose Thompson, you'll see me. And I'm there. But definitely Twitter is the best way to get in touch with me and connect with me. And then if anybody has any questions, of course, they can go to my direct messages or just tweet at me. Or they can go directly to my email, which is also my full name, VictoriaRoseThompson@gmail.com.
Victoria, thank you so much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
Next week, join me for episode 18 of the EdTech Chat podcast, when I'm joined by Don Wetrick and Justin Hardman. One of the things I love doing is giving away prizes as a thank you for tuning in, listening, and hopefully subscribing to the EdTech Chat podcast. Last week, Education Perfect gave away a $250 subscription to their game-changing product. To win, you needed to complete the form at bit.ly/edtechwin. The winner has already been contacted directly by me, and it is Troy Harkin. Congratulations, Troy. This week, Education Perfect is giving away another $250 subscription to their game-changing product. To win the $250 subscription, you need to go to bit.ly/edtechwin and complete the simple form. It'll take you less than a minute to complete. The link is in the description below. Competition closes on Wednesday the 2nd of September, and the winner will be contacted directly by me and announced on next Friday's podcast episode. Good luck. If you enjoyed today's episode, please smash that subscribe button and share it with your colleagues, friends, and families. I appreciate your support. Please remember to spend 2 minutes to rate the podcast too, so we can reach even more educators and edtech enthusiasts globally. Please share your favorite part of today's episode by tagging me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. And please don't hesitate to ask me questions that I can answer in an upcoming episode. Remember, you have the chance to win as well. Check out the links in the description for more. I'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening to the EdTech Chat Podcast, creating a community for educators to learn, share, and grow. If you liked today's episode, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And be in the drawing to win prizes every week. If you know others that would enjoy the show, please hit that share button and brighten their day. Join us again next week for your weekly EdTech hit with @MrKempNZ. We'll see you again soon.